several weeks ago that I preached part one of this message, and I know some folks have been wondering about when part two was going to be. In fact, I've received a couple of text messages over the past few weeks. Is part two of that message going to be this Sunday night? And it was no and no, and now here we are, and it's part two, and I'm thankful for God's grace. And last year when we talked about the grace of God and God's grace is sufficient, we spoke about the fact that God's grace, His saving grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. But then we focused and we talked about His serving grace, His enabling, and the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us. And here in our text of Scripture, He says at the end of verse number 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we want to be good stewards of God's grace. The Bible tells us that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we understand the role of a steward and the responsibility of a steward and the importance of a steward being found faithful. And we want to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, the gift that God has bestowed upon us. We want to use for His honor and for His glory. And so I titled the message, Even So Minister. We see it right in the middle of verse number 10. And we looked at this, again, part one was several weeks ago. But let me read the verses of Scripture. We'll dig in this evening. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we examined several portions of Scripture a few weeks ago as we looked at part number one. And really what we were seeking to do in that message was to establish a foundational understanding of spiritual gifts. And here's just a quick overview of that first message if you were not here, or because of the fact that it's been several weeks and I put the Sunday school class this morning, our teen Sunday school class, I said, hey, how was it last week with Brother Travis Campbell? Oh, it was great. I said, man, that's wonderful. What did he preach on? Man, I wish I had my notes. Man, I wish I had my notes. Like none of them could remember. And I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm simply saying we have so many things that happen in our lives that we kind of, and as they kind of sat there, they were starting to remember certain things. And then somebody said, oh yeah, he preached on this. And that was in the morning. No, somebody else, no, that was in the evening. And somebody else, no. And it was just kind of, and that's how we are as humans, right? We need to be reminded of some things. And so we noted several things that I think it's important that we rehearse this evening as we go into part number two. The first thing that we noted is this, and we see it in verse number 10, and that is that every believer has been given a spiritual gift. It says, as every man hath received the gift. The gift here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10 is not the gift of salvation, although salvation is the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. It's the greatest gift that we possess. The reality is that here, contextually, he's not talking about the gift of salvation. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, as every man hath received the gift. And this is, the word man is referring to mankind. Every child of God. It's not talking about the lost having received a gift. It's talking about the people of God. And so if you're here and you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been given a spiritual gift. We also understood and we focused on the fact that it's the Holy Spirit who gives to every man as He wills. In other words, it's not that it's a buffet type of a situation where we look down the line and say, okay, here are the spiritual gifts that are available, and I think this is the line that I'm going to get into because this is the one that I'd really like. No, the Holy Spirit of God giveth to every man severally as He will. And He doeth all things well. Amen. God doeth all things well. The Holy Spirit is God. And we know that as we understand the spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will give that spiritual gift, and it's appropriate. It's right. It's not a situation where it's like, well, that's not the one I wanted. No, God knows better than you do. He knows better than I do. And he gives the spiritual gifts, and he talks about the church being a body, and as the body is joined together, fitly joined together, and we find that as God would equip his saints with the spiritual gifts, that the body of Christ, as we use our spiritual gifts, we bring glory to God as everyone is using the gift that's been given to them. One of the problems in the church in Corinth, and I was having this conversation, you know, it's always interesting as a guest speaker. I got done preaching last Sunday there in Hawaii, and I got done, and several people, you know, they want to talk to you and give you comments about whatever. They appreciate the message, so on and so forth, and it was a real blessing to just kind of be a used of the Lord to be a blessing to those folks there. And then you always can kind of tell when somebody really wants to talk to you a little bit more. And this one person wanted to talk to me a little bit more, and I knew as soon as they started talking, I need to make sure I find a way, a gap, to be able to say, you need to talk to your pastor. Why? Because I'm not their pastor. Amen. I am a pastor, but I was not their pastor. And the things that they were sharing with me, they needed to be able to talk to their pastor. And some of the things that they were sharing, I then talked to the pastor, gave him a heads up. Hey, somebody came to me and here's what they talked to me about. And I just wanted to let you know that I pointed them to you and give you a heads up. And they're like, well, why didn't you fix the problem? Because that's not my job. Amen. And the reality is that one thing that I told him to try to encourage him is that oftentimes when we look at the church in Corinth, it's the most carnal church in the New Testament. It's a church that's being corrected for its error with regard to spiritual gifts, but yet oftentimes people want to run to the book of 1 Corinthians and withdraw certain portions of Scripture and set up teaching and doctrine that's erroneous. And you're dealing with a carnal church that's being corrected for their wrongdoing, and you're going to try to build doctrine on it. It's a terrible mistake. And so we find that the Holy Spirit gives to every man as he wills. And here's the thing. What happens and what was happening in Corinth is people were saying, well, I want that spiritual gift. They were coveting after certain spiritual gifts. The one that was kind of on the top of the list was tongues. And you saw that there was absolutely a pride element with regard to that, which is still prevalent today within the modern day tongues movement. And so we find that it's not that we would covet some other gift that someone else has. It is that we would understand that the Holy Spirit of God has equipped me, has given to me a spiritual gift that is the right spiritual gift for me. And so we find that we dealt with that last week. We noted that the purpose of spiritual gifts, really twofold purpose, is this. Number one and primary is to glorify God. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, it says, I'll just pick it up in the middle of the text, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so the primary purpose of spiritual gifts is so that God would be glorified. We understand that John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's all about us as his people bringing glory to his name. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And as we minister, as we use that spiritual gift that God has equipped us with, it is to bring glory to God. Not so that we could say, look at me, look at what I know. We recognize it was God that gave it to us. I have no ability aside from God's grace being bestowed upon me. And so we find that not only is the primary purpose to glorify God, but secondarily, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the believers, to build up the brethren. The Bible says here in verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, notice, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. In verse number 10, it says, even so minister, notice, the same one to another. Throughout the portion of Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians as it deals with the subject of spiritual gifts, you read chapters 12, 13, and 14 in those three chapters, and we looked at several verses last time with regard to the spiritual gifts there in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we find that Paul repeatedly spoke to them about edifying the brethren, building them up and encouraging them, and what an important role. We understand that as we gather together, when you think about the truth of church, and yes, even as I mentioned by during announcements about some folks that haven't been able to be here and have said, it's just not the same on live stream. Listen, there are things, this was a huge problem during COVID, there are things, there are commands that you and I cannot obey if we do not assemble. Just impossible. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Even and so much more as you see the day approaching. He said in verse number 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. These are things that we do as we assemble, as we gather. These are things that as I use my spiritual gift, as you use your spiritual gift, we're edifying the brethren. And we defined the spiritual gifts as they're listed there in Romans chapter number 12. So that's kind of a quick overview of what we looked at in part number one of this Even So Minister, and understanding how that spiritual gifts were defined in the Scriptures. Now as we make some application and really kind of deal here with part two, if you're taking notes, I would say number one, discovering your spiritual gift. And so here's the question that we have as we look at the truth that God gives us in Romans chapter number 12 with regard to the spiritual gifts and the fact that He's given to us a spiritual gift. And we looked at the gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, of ruling, and of mercy. And we looked at those gifts and we dealt with, explained each one of them. And so when you begin to say, okay, there's seven spiritual gifts according to Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, how do I determine, how do I discover my spiritual gift? If God has told me in His Word that I have a spiritual gift, if God has told me, and He has, that He's given to every man, as every man hath received the gift, then it becomes a responsibility of the individual to discover, what is my spiritual gift? Let me say this. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, it's likely you're not using it. You say, well, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, sometimes we need to state the obvious. Because the reality is that God has given to us a spiritual gift, and I would say this, we are accountable, we are responsible for the spiritual gift that God has given to us, and we're responsible, we're accountable to use that spiritual gift for God's glory and for the edification of the body of Christ. That's our responsibility, that's what we're accountable for, that's what we are going to, that's one thing that we'll give an account for. Because God has given it to us. And so when I try to talk about how do I discover my spiritual gift, number one, I would say this, ask God to reveal it to you. If God is the one that gave it to you, and God is the one that describes and defines for us in the Scriptures what the spiritual gifts are, then why wouldn't you ask Him, what spiritual gift do I have? Would you make it known to me? Would you make it clear to me what my spiritual gift is? And when I begin to think about and talk about this subject of spiritual gifts, the reality is that there are some, and the Scriptures tell us God doesn't want us to be ignorant about this. He wants us to be informed about this. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 begins with that very verbiage. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about this. He's given it to us so that we would know. But I would say this, that for a large percentage of just average, quote unquote, average Christians today, there are a number of folks that have zero idea whatsoever about spiritual gifts. That they exist, that they have one, they have no concept, no idea, and it's important that we not only know that spiritual gifts exist, but we determine, what is my spiritual gift? How has God equipped me? How has He gifted me? And ask Him to make it known to you. I would say this, thank God for the gift that He's given you. Once He reveals that to you, as you get alone with the Lord, as you search the Scriptures, as you begin to meditate upon what those gifts are, and as God begins to reveal that to you, thank Him for it. Not only thank Him for it, but I would say this, embrace it. embrace it. It's not a situation where we despise it. Well, that really wasn't the one I was hoping to receive. No, that we embrace it because that's the one that God gave us, and God knows you better than you know you. God knows, and He equips properly, and we embrace that which He's given to us and then determine that we'll use the gift for His glory. I'll say this, and I'm careful on how I say this because I want to make sure that we get the entirety of what I'm saying. There is, and it's a man-made thing, okay? It's a man-made thing, but there is a test that I have on my computer downstairs that I have, several of you in here have taken this test. I've given it to you, and it is a test that helps us to determine what our spiritual gift is. Again, it's man-made. It's not scripturally bound and all that sort of thing. It's a man-made test. I think actually Miss Holly with the young girls, the teenage girls, did this a few weeks ago, and they took that spiritual gifts test. And I would say this, it's a good guide. And I remember the first time I came across that, I took it, and I felt like it aligned exactly what I had already believed the Lord had revealed to me with regard to what my spiritual gift is. And so I believe this evening that if that would be something that you'd be interested in, I didn't bring and print out a bunch of them this evening, but I do have those available, and I'd be happy to either email it to you or print one out for you, have it for you at the next service. Why? Because you need to discover what your spiritual gift is. And if there's even if it's a man-made test, a guide that could help us in discovering what it is, then I want to utilize that tool. Why? Because I want to know what my spiritual gift is. And so it's important that we would discover our spiritual gift. Next, I would say this, number two, develop your spiritual gift. What do I mean by that? Well, the reality is that God gifts us and He holds us accountable, but we need to develop the gift that God has given to us. I believe, and I said this last week, last time, the reality is that when you look at that list of seven items that are spiritual gifts defined in Romans chapter number 12, it's not that I have one of them and I don't have to worry about the others. I'm not accountable or responsible. That's not the idea of spiritual gifts, but there will be one primary. I believe that teaching is my primary spiritual gift. I don't believe that I'm the best teacher in the world or any of that sort of thing. I do strive, however, to develop that spiritual gift and to just equip myself. How can I develop this? How can I become more effective in teaching? If that's what I believe my spiritual gift is, then I want to develop that. I want to be, it says here in 1 Peter chapter number 4, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, notice, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. The purpose is that God would be glorified, but I want to develop. I want to be what God has called me to be, and I want to be able to develop that. You think about this in the arena of the world, and we're dealing right now, the Winter Olympics just opened, and some people will be watching the Winter Olympics. I haven't seen any of it up to this point. But the reality is that those athletes that compete either in the Winter or the Summer Olympics, they have a particular skill and a particular ability, and they work tirelessly to perfect that. Right? I mean, they labor and they labor and they miss out on all sorts of things. They make so many sacrifices so that they can become, in their mind, striving for a gold medal. That's what their desire is. We can see it in the world with regard to maybe the company that you work for. There's continuous improvement. There's maybe there's some classes that you can take for professional development. And why? Because I want to become better. I want to be more proficient. I want to be more effective in whatever my role is. And we understand that in the world. And so when we come to the work of God, we ought to desire to be the best workers possible. We ought to desire to be the most effective. Why? Because what we're doing is of eternal value. Amen? I mean, what we're doing, the church, listen, it is the greatest organism, we could use the word organization, on planet Earth. I believe that. God has no backup plan. It's the church. In this era, in this dispensation, it is the local church. Amen? And so the local church ought to have the best workers, the best equipped, the ones that are going to, I want to take the spiritual gift that God has given me, and I want to develop that. Why? Because I want to use it for God's glory. I don't want to develop it so that I can get a promotion at work. A lot of times that's the goal, right? When you talk about professional development and all those things that are going on, I want to take these classes and I want to do these things. Why? Because I want advancement. No, when we talk about spiritual gifts, I want to develop it so that God would be glorified, so that I would be more effective on doing the work that God has called me to do. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we'll look at a statement here from the Apostle Paul, and then look at two instructions that he gives to Timothy, one in 1 Timothy and one in 2 Timothy. He, of course, refers to Timothy as a son of the faith, and we could kind of take that analogy, if you will, that Paul is passing that baton to Timothy, a son of the faith, to kind of run the next leg of the journey, knowing that he soon would depart, as he mentions in 2 Timothy. But Paul himself, before he makes these statements to Timothy that we'll look at in just a moment, notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Listen, this is Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is not Paul just simply puffing himself up with some false humility. Paul was extremely humble. Paul knew who he was. Paul knew what Christ did for him. Paul knew, I don't think he ever got over, as he mentions at the end of verse number 9, how he persecuted the church. I think that bothered him. He's thankful for the change that God brought in his life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. Now, for most of us, if we were to list out the apostles in order by greatest to least, if we were to do that, and I know that Paul says to the church in Corinth that we're not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but if we were to do that, for many of us, Paul would be at the top of the list. The humility is real, but then notice what he says in verse number 10 that gives us some insight with regard to not only the subject of spiritual gifts, but to the idea of developing our spiritual gifts. He says this in verse number 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." How many of you would echo that in your life? I mean, if it were not for the grace of God. I am so thankful that God's grace is sufficient, that God's grace, I'm saved by His amazing grace. But we think about the service and how He enables us and He equips us for His service. And He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, in His grace, which was bestowed upon me." Notice what He says, "was not in vain." We saw in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 10, that God's grace that was bestowed upon him was not bestowed upon him in vain. It was not something that would be useless. It was not something that God gave to him and he just let it sit dormant. Amen? Does that make sense? And notice what he says, "His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." And then he says this, "But I labored more abundantly than they all." Now understand something. He didn't labor for God's grace. He labored because of God's grace. There's an important distinction. God's grace is not given to us because we work for it and we earn it. No, God's grace is given to us. It's bestowed upon us. And because he acknowledged the fact that God had bestowed upon him grace, it caused him, because of the grace, he labored more abundantly. You read throughout the passages of the New Testament and you read about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and we can see that he labored more abundantly. We can see that he was willing to go when they said, "Don't go to Jerusalem," when they come and they bring the girdle and you're going to die. He said, I'm willing to die. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to spend and be spent. He wanted to live a life that was lived to its fullest for the glory of God. And he says that he labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So again, he refers again to the grace of God and how it was God's grace that was enabling him, that was equipping him, that was empowering him. And he says, I want it to develop. I want it to be, if I could use this terminology, and I don't necessarily love the terminology, but I think we could relate to it, we can understand it. I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to be the best servant of God that I can be. I want to be my very best for Jesus. Does that make sense? After all that he's done for me, listen, I know at times we've used and we live in a place here in Northern Virginia, so many government people, and we've used the phrase, it's good enough for government work, and you've heard that at some point in your life, and the reality is that it's not good enough for God's work. Amen? We ought to be the best that we can possibly be. We ought to develop that spiritual gift. There's not this idea, I'm going to mail it in. No. This is eternal work that we're engaged in. Somebody that a pastor friend that I know, he makes this statement often, and I think it's a very interesting statement, and I don't use it, I don't say it often, but he says this, and it's a reminder for himself that this moment in history is unlike any other moment. He's talking about this very minute, because here's the reason. All of us that are gathered in this room tonight, at this time, under these circumstances, we'll never meet again. The same exact people with the same exact circumstances. And so every moment that God gives us to minister is a unique moment. And it's an eternal moment. It's not just I'm just going to kind of, again, mail it in. No, I want to develop. I want to be the best that I can be for God's glory. Not for our own recognition. And God knows our motives. Man may question your motives, but if your motives are pure, God knows. And you don't have to be so concerned about what other people think. It's about bringing honor and glory to God. Because I'll say this, somebody's going to question your motives. You always got to shine the brightest, or whatever they want to say. Don't worry about that. Because I want to be the best for Jesus. Amen? And you ought to want to be the best for Jesus too, whatever gift he's given to you. Notice what he says. So he talks about his own personal experience, but then notice what he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll look at a passage here, a verse in 1 Timothy and then a verse in 2 Timothy, and developing your spiritual gift. You find out what it is. You have to discover it before you can develop it. I discovered that my spiritual gift was teaching, so I began reading books on teaching. Why? I want to be effective. I want to have an understanding of how to teach and what it means to teach, so on and so forth. And so we come here to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, and he says this. Notice what Paul says to Timothy, his son in the faith. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So I want you to notice that first phrase in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Here's what happens too often is people neglect the gift that's in them. At times it's based on ignorance, like they truly just don't know that they have a spiritual gift. They truly, no one has ever taught them, no one has ever dealt with the passages of Scripture that deal with spiritual gifts, and so they themselves are ignorant. They have no concept, no idea that they're spiritual gifts. But then there's other times, as Paul is saying to Timothy here, you know that you have a spiritual gift, but don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. He tells them this in 2 Timothy, notice in chapter 1, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 6, he's talking about the faith and as he calls things to remembrance, but then he comes to verse number 6, and notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He says this, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's the same gift that he talked about in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. And so he says that you stir it up. That literally, the word stir up means to rekindle. Timothy, no doubt, was dealing with a hard task that was given to him. He's left there in Ephesus. There's all sorts of things that are going on. God had told the Apostle Paul, and it had been revealed to Paul, that after his departure, as he talks to those leaders there at Ephesus, that there would be some that would come in that would be grievous wolves that would seek to devour the flock, and all these things are going on, the false teaching and so on and so forth. And listen, in those circumstances, it's easy to become discouraged. Is it really worth it? Is it really being effective? is my labor really helping anyone? Can I just remind you of a great promise of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58? He says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Therefore, my beloved brethren, he starts, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There are times that the enemy will want to discourage you. It's not worth it. No one's listening. No one cares. No. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We never know the opportunity that might be before us and being able to impact somebody and what they might do for the cause of Christ. You can read of great heroes of the faith that we've spoken of and you've heard of, and you've possibly read books about D.L. Moody and C.H. Charles Spurgeon and these other folks, and those two come to my mind very quickly. But if you were to look back and you would think about some of the unknown named people from our perspective and from history that faithfully serve the Lord and use their spiritual gift, that God used them to be able to encourage, to see these young men saved and called to the ministry and used of God. It said of D.L. Moody that he shook two continents for the cause of Christ. It's amazing. And simply saying this evening that when Timothy is in a state of dealing with much that he's facing in the ministry, that Paul says to him, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God to rekindle. I preached a message at a church. They asked me to come for a revival meeting over there in Noakesville, Victory Baptist Church. Their evangelist had to change their schedule. And I spoke a little bit, not from this passage, but what is revival? It really is a rekindling. Revival is not for the lost people. But can I tell you what happens sometimes? If you've ever had a bonfire, you've ever had a fire in a fire pit, if you stay there long enough, it burns out. And you know, those embers sometimes are super hot embers, and there just needs to be a little stirring. Put some more wood on it and stir it up a little bit, and man, all of a sudden, have you ever done that before? And you see how that thing will just rage with flames once again. And Paul is saying to stir up, to rekindle. And so I want to develop my spiritual gift. I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. I don't want it to be that his grace was bestowed upon me in vain. I want to labor more abundantly than they all. I don't want to neglect it. I want to stir it up. I want to develop. And then I would say this finally, deploy it. Deploy your spiritual gift. What do I mean by that? Use it. You've discovered what it is. You've sought to develop it. Then use it. Use it. What is the purpose of the spiritual gift? Well, again, to bring glory to God, to edify the believers. And so if we've discovered and we've sought to develop, but then we're not using it, then we're not being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. We're not doing what God has called and equipped us to do. God gave you the gift and he expects you to use it. There are times in which people have been recipients of gifts, and it's as if the gift was given to them to sit on a shelf as a collector item and to possibly gain some value in time. There are times in which people, and perhaps for even some of us this evening, you've seen things that have been sold for large sums of money that you're like, man, I played with those things when I was a kid. And only if it had stayed in the box, only if it had stayed unused, it might be worth something. Can I tell you that the spiritual gifts are not to be kept within the box, so to speak? They're to be used for the glory of God. That's how they are to be effective, and that's how God is going to bless the work that he's called you and called me to do. So when we deploy our spiritual gift, when we understand that God expects us to use it, that we look for those opportunities to use our spiritual gifts. I remember speaking to someone probably 3 years ago at this point. I was speaking to someone and talking about spiritual gifts and dealing with the particular spiritual gift that they believed that they had, and it really was the gift of exhortation. And as we were talking and going through this, I began to ask that individual, how do you think you could use that gift of exhortation? exhortation, and we began to talk about some particular opportunities and some ways to use that gift. And then I walked them down in the basement, down to a bookshelf that has all kinds of cards on it. And I said, here are a bunch of cards. They're at your disposal. You use them as you'd like to. Why? Because if your gift is exhortation, write a card to somebody and exhort them, encourage them, lift them up. And I don't know. I never checked back. Did they do it? Did they use them? Did they go get their own cards? I don't know. But I'm trying to help them. Hey, here's you've identified your gift. You want to develop that. Now use it. Use it for God's glory. Why? Because God gave it to you to be used. And so where is it to be used? It's to be used in the local church. So we look for those opportunities. You come to me as the pastor. You say, hey, I want to use, and God's given me this gift, and I want to be able to use this for God's glory. And what a blessing. I thank the Lord for those within our congregation that use their spiritual gifts to not only bring glory to God, but to edify the believers. And we make ourselves available. We seize the opportunities. Why? Because I want to use it. You know, it's really difficult for me. There's been times in which I've had super busy times, and my schedule is seeming always busy. But someone, hey, will you preach this meeting, or will you do this? It's hard for me to say no. Why? Because God gave me a gift, and I want to be able to use it. Listen, I don't want to be in a place where we don't have church services because, well, you know, things are changing and we're just not having night services or this. No, I know so many people that are canceling church services, and here we are adding one on Wednesday morning. It's a situation where what I'm saying is that when you know what it is and you've developed, you ought to long to use it. It's not to be stored up. It's not something that we just kind of keep in a box somewhere. It's something that we use for God's glory. And when we do so, not only will God be glorified, not only will the believers be edified, but I truly believe this, you'll have joy. You'll have joy. We sing the song, there is joy in serving Jesus. It doesn't mean that it's not work. Serving the Lord is work. Amen? And some people have asked me over the years, and some people that have taught and preached in my absence have commented on how challenging it is to how can you develop so many messages a week, week after week after week. Listen, it's labor, but it's joy. I'm telling you, it's joy. I absolutely love it. Why? Because I know that this is what God equipped me to do. I know that's what God gifted me to do. And I don't say that pridefully. I say that humbly, that to God be the glory. I want to do it for God's glory, and I love doing it. Is it labor? Is it work? Absolutely. But I promise you, you'll have joy, because there's joy in serving Jesus. And we understand that the spiritual gifts, as they've been described, defined in God's Word, and I say, I want to now discover, what is my spiritual gift? And I want to develop this. Why? Because I want to use it. I want to be the best that I can be. Not so that anyone would look at me and say they should be lifted up. No, so that people would see this is God's grace. That God would be glorified. And then deploy it. Use it for God's glory. Look for those opportunities. Seize those opportunities to be used for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the spiritual gift, Lord, that you've given to each of us. We thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that you would help us as your people, Lord, to truly desire to know what our spiritual gift is. That, God, you would reveal it to us. If maybe there's some here tonight that just don't know what their spiritual gift is, God, I pray that you would just lay upon their heart a desire to know it, Lord, to be able to discover what their spiritual gift is. Maybe there's some that know what their spiritual gift is, but they're just simply not using it, God, at this time for your glory. I pray that you'd stir us, Lord. Help us, even as Paul instructs Timothy, to stir up the gift that is in us, to rekindle, to redetermine, that we will use the gift that you've bestowed upon us for your glory, that we would be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I pray that in the moments of invitation that you'd have your will and way, that you would work in hearts and lives as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are